And welcome to another episode of the Shoujo Podcast, where I, Sarah, and my friend Joe continue to cover Revolutionary Girl Utena, our current shoujo series that we are recapping and discussing. Today, we'll cover episodes 7, 8, and 9. But first, let's gal pal, as people who enjoy shoujo are to do. What's going on, Joe? How's life treating you?
I was thinking about how to answer this. Ooh. What could I say about my life that I think would be interesting? But the most recent thing that happened to me is I just made a really complicated sandwich before this, and then I sent my mom like a 15 minute message about me making this sandwich while I was not talking. It's like consumed my whole everything. So like the thing is, my girlfriend left, right? And she went out of town for 2 weeks, which means all of the food in her
refrigerator. You don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah. All the food in her refrigerator is going to go bad. So she gave me a bunch of stuff that isn't going to last. Right. So it's like perishable items. And for some reason, she had a lot of mushrooms. I don't know what to do with these mushrooms because I don't really
saute them.
I made an omelet. I made a mushroom omelet yesterday. Today I was like, I'm going to make a sandwich, but there were oyster mushrooms, which are these kind of flat, slimy mushrooms. You know what I mean?
Oh.
You know what these are?
I know that there's different kinds of mushrooms. I can't say I'm super familiar with all the types, though.
Well, me neither. So I made this big sandwich out of it. And it was just made of crap I had in my refrigerator because I'm trying to clean it out. So it was like a mushroom and Canadian bacon and lettuce, but like the big lettuce. What's the big lettuce called? I'm going to search big lettuce. Hold on.
Romaine? Big lettuce. Iceberg?
No. It's like long.
What?
Long leaf lettuce. Is that romaine?
Yeah.
It's like more. Okay. Yeah, it's like that. But it's like really big, right? So I put that in there. And then I had Swiss cheese. And that was the sandwich I made. And it took forever to make. And then I ate it. And it was like pretty mid because it was just a bunch of weird stuff I put in it.
Uh-huh. At least it wasn't revolting. It was edible.
And I just thought about it for so long. I don't think this is good. Like, I don't like thinking about making food for this long. Like, the thing is that I like baking. I'm a baking guy because in that situation, you just get all the stuff they tell you to get and then you follow the directions and it's great. And you normally don't have to make any substitutions. You can kind of just do it. But if you do have to make a substitution, it's only like one thing at a time, right? Because if you substitute too many stuff, you're not really baking the thing anymore. But as long as you stick to the formula, it's pretty much going to work. But cooking isn't like that. Cooking is like, oh, it's let's not? Just add this in. And I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to look up a recipe to make a sandwich.
Mm.
What am I, a child?
Yeah, no.
No,
I was going to say sandwiches. I feel like you just do it. You just put things together.
That's what I did, but it was the most like I'm putting this together and I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. And it kind of did. I don't know. I'm still I can't get into like cooking is like an art in a way that baking isn't. And I don't like it. I don't want to do art. I want to eat something that tastes good and uses my ingredients. That's what I want.
Mm, OK, so basically
I've really learned something baking's about
very
myself.
Structured because it's like kind of a science to get it to bake right. And you need the right ingredients or else it's just not going to work versus cooking. It's like a lot more free flowing.
Yeah, I think this ties to my deeper aversion to variability. I don't like it when randomness enters the picture or uncertainty. Yeah. I want things to be certain, which is why I got a PhD in computers. The most certain thing, even though the current technology it's all about generating random crap and hoping it's correct. I'm not going to talk about generative AI. Instead, I'm going to talk about KOTOR 2, a game that I played more of, but couldn't play that much more of because it consistently crashes when I try to leave that one planet moon.
Oh,
well, I can't admit that much further, but
Switch.
I have two new companions. I have. Dark Side Lady, who I beat in a duel, and now is like Luca? Hanging out. Vizzle.
Vices?
Vice, yeah. I have her. Cool. She's weird.
She's a Mira Luca, then, which is
right.
Like, you see with the force or something.
Yeah, she sees with the Force. It's crazy. She's also extremely bizarre of like a person. In all my conversations, I'm like, hey, you good? I know I beat you up. And she's like, why would anybody ever ask me if I'm okay? No one has ever done that before. And I'm like, all right, listen, it's not that deep. I just need you to not die on the ship. I'm not insured in that way. Yeah, so that was interesting. But then I got the real hero of KOTOR. I got HK back online. He's back. Aha. My murder droid is back online.
Oh, that's right. You have to like
just as much
bits.
As a grump as he was last time.
Oh,
and it's
man.
Great. Love that guy. So I'm having a good time. I sure hope I can keep playing it and it doesn't just crash forever at that one spot. Otherwise, I'm going to have to do something.
Well, when you play that, do you have a bunch of different saves or are you playing off just a singular save?
I have a bunch of different saves, but like I can't. That's the only way you can progress. You can't leave. Like it's
yeah,
part of the
I know,
story. You have to do
if
that.
It's
cutscene.
Just something wrong with that save that's crashing. I'm like, you know, I think KOTOR is the game where I learned save a lot because things can just go badly and then you lose hours of progress. So, you know, I'll play Baldur's Gate and have like, I think I hit over 1,000 quick saves on if I'm being honest. I just like constantly just hitting that quick save, like just in case.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing to do. But yeah, no, this
like,
is just, I think it's just
it
like
more than the first one so far. I mean, you
am I liking
it? Like, how are you feeling about the story and characters compared to the first game? Because it is
like,
a different developer.
It's, I don't like what I did with my character build. It's kind of interesting. I feel like the characters are more interesting in two. Like, Kreia is super fascinating
as well.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that. And I like how you have influence with them individually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. We'll see how it goes. I kind of like the stuff that happens midway through KOTOR 1, like story wise and what's going on there.
Yes.
So we'll see if KOTOR 2 has anything like that. I'm not sure. But yeah, but it's been fine so far. Yeah. I mean, the gameplay's like, whatever, who cares? It's just it's generic gameplay. It's basically the same. So, you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's good. Let's see, any other thing from me? Oh, as part of my Disney watch along,
yes.
we have reached the Renaissance. So last time we watched The Little Mermaid, we talked about that. This time we watched The Rescuers Down Under.
Yeah.
A movie that was very bizarre.
What? Oh, I remember the cool eagle.
Yep. There's a cool eagle.
You know, kid token child
and there is a token child. It's a very weird movie. Yes. It feels more
is it?
Well, it's the first one that's fully digital. So that's when that kind of
is
started.
It weird story or just visually or just
it's well it's weird because it's like it's the Rescuers but it's not really about the Rescuers. Like the what's her face and what's his face are not in it super like a ton.
Bianca and Bernard. I can't remember Bernard.
They're in it, but they're not really the main characters. It's mostly this kid that's the main character.
How do y'all feel about kids here?
It's set in Australia because apparently a couple years before that, Crocodile Dundee had come out and was very popular. So they set it in Australia, which I think is a very funny thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I think about it, I didn't see a ton of animated stuff, or at least as a kid in the U.S., I got to consume that based in Australia.
So it was fine. The next up, we're going to watch like Beauty and the Beast, which is like an all timer. So it's just kind of funny to have this movie in between The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast.
I dressed up as Belle for Halloween when I was like four, probably. I was Belle. I was like,
which one?
You know where it's like kid cost? It's the gold ballroom outfit,
but
it's got like
one.
A face
nice.
It. So it's not like a full, it's like. In case you can't tell, here's her face of the character that I'm dressing as kind of costume.
Oh, that's funny.
I guess that was pretty popular back then, though.
I see.
So.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at there.
Nice.
That's my update. How's it been
Beauty
for you?
Beauty and the Beast. How's it been for me? Work has been good. It's finally because it's been kind of like a transitionary time at work, but I'm feeling good. This week, like feeling productive and feeling like I've been working on these things and they're about to go live. And so that's fun because anything I'm working on, then I get to see everyone's reaction to. So like, I guess I think I might have mentioned, and I showed it off on the stream, so it's not like a spoiler or anything, but we like are doing a makeshift plushie. So that's finally going to be like out there. People can start pre-ordering that. So that's like a thing that's been like on my to-do list that'll finally be done. And then another big thing is wrapping up. So yeah, personal life. Friggin' been playing Coral Island again. Basically, I was like, oh, Fields of Mystria comes out with a new update and I want to play that. But I was like, I'm not going to play that. So let me just play a competing game for my time that's pretty similar. That doesn't have an update. So I just played a bunch of that. So I need to play Fields of Mystria for the update too. Love Island All-Stars finished. I'm glad the couple I disliked the most did not win. Traitors ends this week, and then I think Survivor season 50 starts. I'm on season 50, or I'm on season 44. I don't know if I'm gonna season 43 is Sarah's opinion. Season 43 of Survivor, the worst season. Just boring. So uninterested in that season.
Oh, please tell me you've been ranking them after you watch them.
I haven't, but I have found this guy who like talks about them. I'm like, okay, I feel just, well, because there's like some sketch moments that's like, why aren't, you know, like, I feel like podcasts were out at the time that this happened. Why aren't I seeing any like bigger discussions about this messed up thing that happened on Survivor? So it's like nice to see, or I found this guy on Instagram who does videos and liking that. And then let's see, it's season, or it's freaking February. It's still February. It's like hold off for the time being, but I know it's not gonna be for very long. And yeah, I feel like that's all I have, which is not a lot.
Yeah.
Not an exciting time for Sarah right now.
Well.
Yeah.
Can't do much in that in the cold winter, isn't that right?
Well, it's not even cold. So I can do a lot, honestly. Yes. Yeah. I did find a new on Webtoon, a new webcomic called Press Play Sammy that I've been really liking. And like there's a lot of it that's just free to read. So I've been reading through that the past couple of days. That's been really good.
Nice.
I feel like I need to take away lessons from the protagonist girl because she's like Scrooge, or she's like scrounging around money and like picking up every, I don't know, she's like super poor, and I'm like, I need to be behaving like that with my money. I need to be acting like every cent counts. Like I'm like, I need to be more like her.
Yeah.
She does like
just never spend any money. Life hack.
It's a thing I need to do. Desperately. I don't know. What's the Olympics? That's happening. Freaking
that ended.
Alyssa, whatever, mentioning the anime she's watching. And I'm like, God, like, we can't share any interesting ones we're watching. It's
what are you even talking about?
The chick who. Alyssa Liu, or
the figure girl skater? Who won
gold, yeah, with the stripes in her hair. Like someone asked her top three anime. It was like JJK, Chainsaw Man, and like Attack on Titan. I was like, ugh.
Yeah,
you know, at least someone talking about liking anime. Ah,
okay, and I'm like, you gotta be. Listen, you can't expect everybody to be in it. You know what I mean? She's got other stuff to do. She's got to figure skate or whatever.
Well, yeah. I know, that seems to be an all-consuming thing.
Now she can retire and watch Yuri on Ice like she's meant to.
She did retire.
Well, there we go.
And came back. And maybe that's when she watched the anime.
Oh, okay.
Yuri on Ice, have you watched that ever since I saw you like a few ice skating videos, and then Yuri on Ice is all you're getting on your reels now. And I'm like...
Oh, that's funny. I did watch some of it. Yeah. I found it kind of boring.
Mm.
I just didn't stick with it. It was fine. Like, yeah. I didn't dislike it, but it was just like, eh. I'm not into sports anime, though.
But is it super sporty, or is it more about the boys' love?
It's like sporty enough that it's like a big part of it. Anime, you know what I mean? Like, it's less sporty than other sports anime, for sure.
It's more artistic or something.
Well, it's more about, like, it's more of a drama. But you know, it's still there. There's that is still the driver of the plot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, now she's got time to watch Revolutionary Girl Lieutenant, what she should be doing.
Yeah.
We should you should recommend it to her. The next time you see her, recommend that to her.
Okay. Will do.
That's what we should do. People like the stuff that's popular. I mean, you can't be a hater because people like the stuff that's popular. Some of the stuff that's popular isn't that bad. I didn't watch that Chainsaw Man movie, but maybe it was good. The next stuff coming in Chainsaw Man, I am kind of excited for. JJK is fine.
I just didn't like that we're thirsting after girls left and right. And I watched like two episodes and I was like, okay, don't be a little creep, my guy.
He's just a horny dude.
Whatever.
And that's actually all he is. He is like nothing. He's like a shell of a person. And that's what the story is about. Which is good,
yeah,
except it's,
man,
it takes a long time for it to pay off. But it does pay off, but it takes a long time.
I think Kiki's Delivery Service is coming to IMAX for the first time, I feel like I saw.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a cute movie. Oh,
that's a cute movie.
Oh, I saw a movie this weekend.
Okay.
I quite liked it, except for one part.
All right.
Okay, good luck, have fun, don't die. I watched that. It was really good. Like, I enjoyed it. There's one part where it's like, you know, the ending of the movie, This Is the End, with like Seth Rogen and James and the unnecessary.
Yeah, my mom loves that movie.
Anatomical. Okay. There's unnecessary anatomical depiction happens in this movie. Don't love that. But other than that, it's a really fun movie. There like wasn't any boring parts. It's kind of like this, you know, seemingly crazy guy busts into a diner and is like, okay, I'm from the future and, you know, some combination of the people within this diner are going to help me save the world. This is attempt number 117. So he's like proving he's been there by like, oh, you know, you, this is your deal, blah, blah, blah. You volunteer every time you suck. You're not, I'm not picking you, whatever. So this is like a new lineup he's got. And like, and then it's just, it's kind of zany, but it's really fun. I like it. I really liked it because I had not seen anything about it. So I was like, okay, whatever this random movie got to see. I was like, this is good. Or I had a lot of fun watching it. So
cool.
I already forgot
good
the
movies.
Yep. Something. Have fun. Don't die. Yep. Yep. All right.
Nice.
Should we talk about Utena?
Should we talk about Utena? Yeah, we're covering three episodes today, so it's going to be jam-packed, even though the middle episode is... we're still going to have things to say about that middle episode.
I've got things to say, for sure.
Yeah. But first, we can start with voice actors. I have two
I'm
voice
actors. I'm
triggered
by the first name on this list.
You're triggered by the first name. Yeah, that's right. The voice actress for Jury is Kodomo Mitsuishi, who we have seen before as the voice of Shoko in Angelic Layer, Misaki's mom.
Boo.
Ranks pretty low on her mom list, but
very
she
low.
Is a heavy hitter in voice acting. She is the voice of Mei Mei in JJK, as we just mentioned. She's Peko Peko Yama in Danganronpa 3. She's Tonya in Gundam X. She's the dub voice for Meredith Grey in Grey's Anatomy, which is a pretty good gig, if you could get that.
This is the first time we're seeing people who are like voice acting over live action stuff.
This is not the first time we're seeing it. This is the first time I've thought to check Wikipedia to look that up, because my anime list does not have that stuff.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But now I'm looking for it because I think it's funny.
Because we've lost faith in my anime list.
We've lost faith in my anime list. That's right. She's Bo Hancock in One Piece. She's Misato in Neon Genesis Evangelion, which is somehow getting a sequel series, which is insane. And she is Usagi Tsukino, you know, Sailor Moon in all of Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, she's Ditto in Pokemon.
Nice.
Yep. That's Jury.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The phrase Ditto to mean like me too. That existed before Ditto the Pokemon, or did that term come to be from the existence of that Pokemon?
I think the Pokemon's named after the phrase.
Okay.
Because most Pokemon names, like, well, I mean, it's not, that's not the name in Japanese, right? Like, that's the localized name.
Well, that's good. That's a good name.
Most of them are puns.
Yeah. They're good. They make sent, not these crazy new ones. Anyways, don't get me started.
According to EnglishGrammarLessons.com, the word ditto comes from the Italian word ditto or detto, which means the same.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions being answered on the Shoujo podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Come here for all of the linguistic origins of things that are also Pokemon names. All right. So our second voice actor is the voice of Sionji, who is Takashi Kusao. We have heard his voice before as the voice of Ushino Kurosaki from Skip Beat, who's the guy who directs that commercial.
Yeah, the one with the ugly hat and who looks like a Yakuza member.
Yep. So we have seen him before. He is Hanamichi in Slam Dunk. I don't know who that is, but that's, I think it's one of the title characters, maybe. He's both Saul and Goldie Roger in One Piece. The big guy. He's Mao in Code Geass. He's the dub voice for Leonardo DiCaprio, like early on in like Titanic and Romeo and Juliet. And now he is the dub voice for Zachary Levi in like Shazam.
Okay. That's interesting. So if you like dub one English actor in one movie, you're likely to be recast to dub them in anything else they do. So it seems,
it's like some consistency. Interesting. Yeah. He's also the voice of Trunks and Future Trunks from Dragon Ball Z. So that's, I mean, that extends through the whole Dragon Ball franchise, but that starts in Z. And he is the original voice of Sonic the Hedgehog in the 1993 Sonic the Hedgehog, the Sega Sonic game. So OG Sonic.
Sorry, I was just going to be like, Trunks is a stupid name to give your child, just saying.
That's because they're all named after clothing items.
Who else is named after clothing? They're all named after.
What are the kids' names?
I don't know.
Let's see. Dragon Ball naming convention. That like the everybody is like vegetables. The Saiyans are vegetables. The Namekians are musical instruments. This is like a thing that Dragon Ball does because it's very goofy.
It's like litters of kittens and puppies at shelters where like you just name them all from a thing.
Bulma is the shortening of brassiere, or it's bra.
Oh, so you know, I think of Bulma and I just think of episode one where he like smacks her bits from the first Dragon Ball, where he's like whacking her in the groin, like, are you sure you're.
Oh yeah, I don't Poor know Bulma. If I've seen Dragon Ball. I've seen like episodes randomly, but I don't know if I've ever actually watched it. I probably should.
Nudity of baby Goku, just nuts.
Yeah, I missed out on that.
Crazy! I had the first one of box set.
Wow!
And I was like, oh, what's the cute Yamcha? I was like, oh, Yamcha's cute. I don't think he's very good. But he's cute. He's somebody.
No, he kind of gets chumped out as things go further along.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well,
anyway,
thanks as always for providing voice acting, Joe.
That's right. Anyway, here we go. Revolution Girl Utena episode 7 is called Unfulfilled Jury. We open on Jury thinking about how there's no such things as miracles as a woman puts her hands around her eyes. We cut to Jury at the fencing club. She's really good. It takes a break. And Mickey comments that she's looking really good today. But she asks, what's the point of being good at this? Because she has nothing to show for it. And she's like, I wonder if I'm going to be the person who smashes the world shell. Am I going to be victorious? She undoes her like fencing jacket and we see that underneath it, she has like a gold pendant on. Remember that for the end of the episode. She's
very pretty. The like ringlets don't super do it for me, or at least not the way they're laid. But I feel like she's a very striking character. Pretty eyes and hair color.
Oh, I think Jury looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to the vice principal talking with Jury about student council stuff. And he invites her to like talk about it over lunch. Nearby, Utena is being scolded by her teacher for bringing Choo Choo to school. And Utena tries to explain that she didn't really bring him. And also, monkeys aren't against the rules, right? And her teacher's like, yes, they are.
Just when you said the teacher wouldn't return.
That's true.
She is. We don't get teacher's to see back. Her cool glasses, but it's her.
Yep. While they talk, Chuchu runs away and the teacher chases him. And Juri turns to Utena and says that she wants to talk to her more. But Utena hesitates and says that she has to deal with this Chuchu situation. The vice principal comes back and Juri suggests that he have lunch with Utena's teacher like he said he would. And he's like, I don't remember saying that. But Juri's like, listen, I'm not gonna say that again. Go have lunch with her teacher. So he does. He goes and takes Utena's teacher away. And Juri's like,
very scary.
Yeah, real like, I'm actually in control here. Vice principal, nothing to me. Juri sees Utena and is like, well, you're free now, right? And Utena's like, I guess so. They talk, and Utena tells Juri that she knows her from her reputation as an effective, no-nonsense, and kind of scary person. And Juri's like, that's what people have been saying about me? I guess that's not totally wrong. Juri says that Utena is good with a sword, and Utena's like, eh, not really. Anyway, are you on the student council? Are you going to, like, try to duel me to win Anthy? And Juri doesn't answer and instead asks Utena if she knows why they're after the Rose Bride. And she explains that apparently who's ever engaged to Anthy will gain miraculous powers to revolutionize the world.
Finally, somebody's telling her something, or she's bothered to ask. How long? Time has passed since this all started.
It's very funny because it's like, this is the explanation, but it's just the thing we've already been told and none of it is further explained for us. Like, we still don't know what that means. And it doesn't seem like any of them know what it means either.
We know. Well, at least we knew. I feel like Tana, she's not listening to them in their freaking elevator speech every week.
That's true. Utena is like, oh, cool. Well, I guess I have magical powers then. That should really help me out of my finals. And then she's like, come on, you can't actually believe that I get magical powers, right? Like, this is stupid. And Juri thinks for a moment and says, no, it's obviously stupid. And she gets a flashback. We go into flashback zone. Mm. She gets a flashback to when a woman gave her an orange rose and told her to believe in miracles and they will know your feelings. And then she adds that she doesn't believe in miracles when she talks to Utena. Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like I'm thinking people... It might not help that I'm also watching Fruits Basket right now, because Fruits Basket has a lot of emotional depth and, like, valid reasons why people are, like, doing the things they do. And then this is like, I don't know if you have a reason enough to be like, oh, I gotta change the world because this happened to me. Just because your sister doesn't like playing piano, my guy, I don't think that makes you like, ugh, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Character motivations. I don't know if they're compelling enough. But also, it's goofy, so it's like, it's not like they super have a specific thing that I know of that they're going for anyways.
Okay, well, we're going to disagree about that.
Snappy snap. Okay.
Utena's like, okay, great, we're in agreement. You think this is stupid, I think this is stupid. We're not going to duel. Awesome. Utena gets called to the office and leaves. Anthy comes to give Utena an orange rose, but when she sees that Utena has left, she instead offers it to Juri. Juri looks at the rose and thinks about how she just had a flashback about that one girl giving her an orange rose, and then she slaps Anthy, telling her not to get too familiar.
Freaking, slap counter. What is it? Slap number 6? Maybe? It's sounds so... right. Much.
It's a lot.
Out of control. Juri, I'm disappointed. I thought you were cool. And then I was like, great. You're just a chump like the others. Slapping. It's just absurd. Absurd.
Listen, she's on the student council for a reason.
Mickey hasn't slapped her.
That's true. Mickey would probably not slap her.
I guess I haven't seen Toga slap her either.
Toga's too much of a feminist, as we learn in later episodes. We get the student council elevator sequence. The meeting begins, and apparently they must have a duel this week. And since Mickey and Sionji already took their turn, it'll have to be either Juri or Toga. This surprises Mickey because he's like, does Juri even want a duel? She's never shown much interest in it. But Toga says, of course she wants the duel. Otherwise, she wouldn't be in the student council. And Juri's like, yeah, if I win, it might help me on my finals, which I thought was very funny.
Yeah, yeah. That makes me think she likes Utena, or thinks that what Utena said was funny. And so she's taking her bit. Come up with your own material, Juri.
Toga asks Juri if she's really just trying to disprove miracles. Or he's like, maybe she hasn't given up on her old love and wants to use the power to get back with them. But Juri does not answer and instead thinks about her love life.
How does he know this stuff about people? How does he just know? Toga got his finger in all the pies. I thought Juri and Mickey were close. Mickey has no idea. Is this a scene where we're throwing knives, or is that later?
This is a scene where, yeah, right, I should probably explain this. In this conversation,
funny.
where like Toga and Mickey are talking about Juri while she's like, she's just sitting there in like a lawn chair lounging, ignoring the two of them basically. And Toga is throwing knives at like around Mickey, like in his silhouette basically. And they're just doing this, and it gets like
really
way faster as they go along.
Start, he like blindfolds himself at one point to like just escalating the absurdity.
Yeah, it's very good. It's I love that.
It was really good.
The student council just like has their meetings while doing various bullshit. It's very good.
It was just so much like this show is just crazy. This scene here. Let's talk about super serious stuff, but also be totally ridiculous. At the
I mean, that's time. What I want. Otherwise, it's just like you have a bunch of characters talking and having a discussion, which is fine, but not very interesting to watch on screen for like an animated thing. Like, an, you know, an actors, it's like they can act in their face and stuff like that. You can't really do that with animation. So I'm all about just make weird stuff happen on screen while this is happening. That's good.
Well, didn't they also have like a like outline, like a little doodle of like knockout tournament style where it's like
at the very beginning when they're explaining that like somebody has to do the next duel, it just shows like a diagram of the battles that have already happened. We don't learn anything.
I didn't pause to check if that
it starts with Lieutenant Sayonji's first one.
Gotcha.
So we don't get anything further back from that. Let's see, we get a flashback to Juri, a younger Juri, a brown-haired boy, and a purple-haired girl. The three of them were friends, and it's clear that, like, the purple-haired girl has a thing for the guy. But maybe Juri has a thing for the guy, because they were fencing together. Ooh.
And this is where, like, I was just in my mind, I was like, ooh, maybe we're going to get, like, a threesome thing going on. Nope. Nope. Dashed my hopes. I thought it was going to be more interesting than just girl likes boy. Dang. Nothing in the show and like made me think that. I just saw the three of them together and just wrote my own fanfic.
Uh-huh.
2 seconds of like, yep, nope.
Keep that in mind. We get some dialogue of the girl apologizing for scheming to steal this boy away from Juri, even though she knew that Juri liked him. Apparently, she told him that Juri liked someone else, and that was like enough to win him over. The betrayal at the heart of everything. The voiceover continues saying, I know I told you to believe in miracles and they'll know your feelings. And then I turned around and did this. So you probably hate Lee. And we learned that this voiceover is actually a letter that this girl has sent Juri. And Juri starts to dictate her own letter in response, saying stuff like, oh, you know, thanks for the letter. I'm still a little hurt, you know, about what happened, but maybe it isn't so bad. But then she stopped partway through because even she can't bring herself to write that bullshit. Pretty good. I like the sequence. I like how it like it turns out this narration
what
is letters.
I'm gonna add to my delusion. What if the girl said that to the guy to get him out of the picture? Or it's some long term game. She just wants that guy to blow off Juri so that Juri isn't interested in him. But I don't know. I'm just making up stuff in my mind to make it more. We get more from everyone at some point. We're getting so little, just tiniest breadcrumbs of everyone's background right now that I'm like, I feel like this stuff will come back up. But right now I'm running wild with speculation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one episode. We're not done with Juri after this episode.
I know. At least we got like we saw Mickey's sister, because you know you would have thought she was dead or something until we saw her in person. Oh God. Yep.
Don't be so impatient.
Sorry. I'm off.
Plenty of show.
I am. Oh God. Okay. Continue. Sorry.
Let's see. That's the end of the flashback. This is the end of the flashback.
I interrupted you.
No, that was pretty much it. I mean, you know, Juri, I like this flashback. There's a lot of visual stuff going on that I'm not really describing about like how it cuts and things like that. It looks really nice. I like how they did this thing with the voiceover. I like how it just stops suddenly when Juri can't write this letter because she's still mad about all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
We do like a grudge holding lady.
Oh, yeah.
That has orange hair.
Mm-hmm. I love someone whose like whole deal is like, I am in charge and keeping everything on lockdown. And then if you apply any amount of pressure, it's like, I'm not keeping it on lockdown. I'm having the worst time ever and I want to blow up. aren't you tired of being nice? Don't you just want to go apeshit? Yeah, good. We cut to outside late at night where Utena is giving Choo Choo a piggyback ride to get him to fall asleep.
It's so great. It's just we're being crazy and it's fun.
I love how, like, anytime we need Utena to be at a place, we just make some excuse that Choo Choo has to go to this place. So Utena's also there.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny.
That's true. Yes.
She runs into Juri, who's wearing, like, this fabulous sleeping gown. It's, like, way over the top.
Lots of ruffled collar. Yes.
Utena is like, wow.
She's normally also, well, she wears, like, a, they don't say she wears a boy uniform, but I guess we also haven't seen the high school girl uniform other than what Juri's wearing. But she's wearing pants.
Yeah, she's wearing the student council uniform. So, like, which is like the prince masculine uniform, right? So she is like doing the same thing
for each of them.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, they're different colors, but it's the same kind of design, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's very much like she is able to dress like that because she is doing it through the power structure that exists, where Utena is dressing this way independently. So that's kind of the difference there. But they're both like similarly positioned in like their women dress like princes, kind of. Utena's like, wow, you look amazing. I've only ever seen your school uniform. What are you doing here? But Juri ignores the question and comments that Utena is always wearing her uniform too. And she's like, why do you wear a boy's uniform? And Utena tells her the prince story and told her that she wanted to look like the prince after all. So she decided to dress like this so that she could be a little bit closer to them. Anyway, I don't think the student council, like, or I don't believe what the student council says about Anthy, and I don't, but I do think I'm linked to her by fate or something kind of miraculous, where she's like, I don't believe in that fairy tale stuff you guys are talking about, but I believe in this fairy tale stuff about this prince. And also I'm probably linked to Anthy in some way, you know, because miracles are real. Juri stands to face Utena and starts to lean in like she's going to kiss her. But instead she just grabs her ring.
Boo. When are we going to get a girl kiss on this podcast? One day.
She yells at Utena to throw the rose seal away. She's like, you're not noble. You're just faking it to impress some guy. You think these duels are stupid, but then, like, how are they any different than your sentimental feelings for this prince guy? Maybe he's not even real. So what? You can play pretend? The rose seal isn't meant for someone like you, she says. Utena fends her off and, like, is able to keep possession of the ring, and she says the ring is her only link to the prince, and she's not going to give it up. And Juri's like, fine, then I'll just duel. And if you can make a miracle happen, I'll admit that miracles are real. How about that?
Exactly what Utena wants or cares about, if you believe in miracles.
Not, again, Utena does not want to have anything to do with this. This scene is good. I like Juri getting mad.
Yes, it feels like there's more. Juri is an intense character, more intense than any other character, really. Because even Saionji, it feels like, is now getting comedy bits. So I guess Juri's
well, Saionji's kind of just an idiot.
Yes, we'll see more so in a bit, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Juri's great. We get the Kashira Shadow Troop. This play is about a girl who got sick and couldn't go to the school trip to the zoo. And she complains that the zoo isn't that great anyway. And the other girl comments that she clearly wanted to go. I feel like I did this all the time as a kid.
Oh, yeah, it was cute. I guess they don't always, they're just fun little things. They don't necessarily have anything to do with the story of the episode. Is that right?
No, this one absolutely has to do with the story of this episode, because Juri's whole thing.
I didn't.
Juri's whole thing is that she doesn't think miracles exist because she desperately wants one to happen to her.
You're so smart, Joe. Thank God you're here.
But we'll get to that. We'll get to that reveal later. This is why I love Juri, by the way.
Okay.
Utena goes to the dueling ground at the top, and we get absolute Destiny Apocalypse. At the top, Juri says that if Utena wins the duel using a miracle, then she deserves her pride. And Utena said she's going to win even without a miracle. The duel begins, and Juri, as expected, is extremely good because she's the captain of the fencing squad. She's
not like these chumps she's been fighting,
She's like mostly just messing with Utena because she's pretty vindictive this whole time and is like clearly very angry. And also, this fight is like so one-sided, it's not hard for her at all. While fighting, Juri gets more flashbacks of her personal pain point with her old friends. During the fight, Utena merges with the prince again and does a lunging strike that has worked for her in the past against Saionji. But this time, while thinking about how miracles don't exist, Juri parries it and disarms Utena, throwing the Sword of Dios into the air, and it's cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I think, the payoff for repeated sequences for me. And Utena's going to do this in a couple different times. When you have a sequence that gets repeated, I think the effect you can have is when you break that sequence, which is like what happens here, right? Because we've seen this like lunging pose she does a couple of times and it's always worked. And here it doesn't. And it's like surprising. It's like very effective. And that's why repeated sequences are cool sometimes. Anyway, Juri has Utena.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. This is the show where I notice it the most because they do it, obviously. They're going to do it more later on. And I really appreciate
that. Well, it's
that,
like so. They haven't... Because sometimes it's like, it didn't take that long for us to get to the point where they changed it, where some show it feels like it drags on forever and you're like so over it by the time they do anything. Yeah. So like still, it doesn't feel stale by the time they're changing it.
Yeah. Let's see. Juri has Utena down on the floor and is about to end the duel when suddenly the Sword of Dios drops down from the sky where it was thrown into the air. Right on Juri's rose, like stabbing it into the floor, and she loses the duel. Juri, who's like,
that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Juri is like totally astonished, and she turns to Anthy and says that that was just an accident, not a miracle. Anthy comes over and congratulates Utena for winning and tells Juri that she wishes that the person she loves knows her true feelings, and then hands her an orange rose. But Juri does not take it and leaves.
I guess she does a freaking slapper again. Oh, you slapped her, Joe.
Everyone's slapping her.
You have to work to earn my respect back.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean it's okay because everyone else is doing it, Joe.
I'm not saying it's okay, but like, you know, these people are real.
Everybody's doing it.
Later, Toga asks Juri if she still refuses to believe in miracles, and she dodges the question. She says that if Anthy really does have the power to revolutionize the world, then she wants to take it with her own hands. And Toga says, ah, so you haven't given up on miracles then, as he leaves. Juri looks down at her pendant and opens it, revealing that the person she loved was not the boy she was friends with. It was the girl that betrayed her. And she closes the pendant as we cut to credits.
What? Oh, I must have missed that part.
It's like, it's so critical. It's so critical to the episode, Sarah.
Damn. Okay, fuck. Sorry, I was like doing chores as I was watching it.
Sarah.
Okay, I missed the part.
This is why you're like, oh, it was just about some boy? I thought it was going to be like a love triangle. I'm like, it literally is a love triangle. This is the one time in like fiction I've seen where it's actually a triangle.
Okay. 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 All right. Okay. So, she liked the girl. The girl didn't know that, but assumed that she liked the boy and she liked the boy. So she just forsake their friendship for the boy when they weren't even in competition.
Yes.
Is that a good read? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much that, right? So like,
revelation.
Juri is...
Look, I watch an episode. I still am not.
And this is why Juri is so angry, right? It's like not only does the girl she had a crush on like think like to her, she's like, oh, I just betrayed Juri and that's why Juri's mad at me because I like stole this guy from her. But really, it's like, not only did you like betray me, like do a personal betrayal to me, but also you're the person I'm into. Like you don't understand my feelings at all. So it's like double layered and it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's finally a love triangle.
Okay.
Where all the vertices point to a different vertex, making it a real triangle, unlike what we call a love triangle, which isn't actually a triangle. This one does it. Yeah. Isn't it tragic when girls are pitted against
this
each other for,
I like this.
For
okay.
heteronormative romantic relationships?
Yeah, I mean, I can see like if you even if it's like she didn't expect the girl to return her feelings. But just to like be thrown under the bus or be disregarded just as friends for that would have been hurtful. And then on top of that, it's like she was into her too. So
yeah.
And I guess
two
I'm
knives.
Assuming this
two knives in your back.
I'm assuming we'll run into this chick at some point.
Yes. We're not done with her. But like this is why you have the scene where
I was gonna
it looks
say,
like
the boy also looked interesting enough to return again as well. Cause he had like a flower intro. They had, like, the frame on the screen when we saw the boy for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, maybe he's important.
But like, this is why we have the scene where it looks like Juri's about to kiss Utena.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's going on here. It's like, okay, Juri is not over it, clearly. I mean, yeah, we know that, yeah, right? And like, the whole thing is like her, this is why she's okay, constantly being like, oh, I don't want to, like, only morons believe in miracles, they're not real, because the one time she did, it like burned her so bad. Because it was that girl who, okay, told her to believe in miracles, and she's like, oh, they'll hear you, which kind of sounds like you're flirting with me, maybe. But it turns out, not only are you not flirting with me, you're actually like trying to undermine me in a scenario that I don't even care about.
I feel like I'd like to retract some previous statements. I just didn't know. I didn't know. Yay! So we will maybe get girls' love if it, even if it's not our main girls, which I'm starting to think it's not going to be our main girls. I thought it was going to be Utena and Anthy, but I'm starting to get the, now I feel like they're not going to be a thing.
Did you watch episode 9?
Or Utena's not, okay. Yes, I did that.
Okay, we'll talk about it as we get there.
I missed the end of that episode too.
I mean, We'll talk about that
episode.
That one, they don't do anything explicitly romantic. It's just kind of romantic in the framing of the thing.
Okay, fine. Let's get to our freaking bit bonanza of episode. No,
I want to keep talking about this episode because I love Juri. This is great. Okay. I like all of the scenes that happen in this episode. I like the look on Juri's face when she realizes she lost the duel is so great. And she like turns to Anthy.
Well, she's like, I totally smoked you.
Cause she was like the whole fight.
Cause I mean, the sword comes out of Anthy. Does Anthy have some kind of external power over the sword to sway it to go? Cause she wants to stay with Utena. And does Juri know that? And that's why she looked at her or something, you know?
I mean, it's a good question, right? Cause she does summon the power of Dios, right? Like the power of Dios comes from Anthy, which is the sword. But there's also the prince, which is like who Utena like melds with. But that doesn't work when she does it this time.
Well, she's also not aware that it's happening.
Right. She isn't totally aware that it's happening.
The melding thing. Too bad it's not Soul Eater where Anthy becomes the weapon, huh? That'd be crazy.
I mean,
Or maybe we get to that point.
I mean, she's not becoming the sword. The sword is its own thing. But she is like an instrument that is imperative to the duels happening.
Coming out of her.
I mean, I do like how...
Marriage thing with the she thing.
Oh my god, the sheath thing. Like, I guess she is a sheath. I mean, she does unsheath the sword and hand it to the prince. So that is just true. She is the sheath of the sword.
They want to sheath their sword up in Anthy. Don't they?
We get the sex metaphor correct this time, instead of it being awkward and weird like it was in My Happy Marriage.
Sorry, you were saying something profound and I interrupted you.
No, not really. I mean, it's just like, this is the student council arc so far has Anthy becomes the like avatar of the desire of what the people want in the student council. Like to Mickey, it became his sister who he was like into. For Juri, it became this girl who kept handing her orange roses and like wishing her well, which is what Anthy was doing this whole time, which is why she hit her and doesn't like Anthy, because it's like, oh, she is the thing that you want. And it's also like why Anthy is so weird, right? It's like she's having to perform all of these different roles for all these different people. Like, is the Anthy that is offering Juri the rose the same Anthy that is playing piano for Mickey? I don't know. They don't seem.
Well, I need to know, is Anthy a person who existed before these people showed up, or did she come from the castle in the sky, or does she have a childhood? I can't tell.
Good question.
I feel like she doesn't. I feel like she's not normal. I feel like she just appeared, did not grow up with these people. So I feel like it's more so what you're saying. She just dons what, I don't know, or people are just seeing what they want to see from her.
Yeah, well, she's the ultimate object of desire. Except for Utena, who does not really desire her at all at the moment.
No.
And not for anybody else really either. Right. Like Wakaba is not impressed with Anthy.
At least she doesn't. I thought she was going to be like actively hating her, but we do see them all in frame together at some point. She doesn't say any snide remarks, so maybe they're totally fine.
Yeah, she's just there. Anyway, I love this episode. This episode's great. I love that it's just full of like angry, vindictive Juri. I like a skeptic that is skeptical out of hurt.
Mm.
Good. And then at the end of the episode,
I like
just
it more
like
now that I
yeah
know what happened. Yeah.
Yep.
Oops, oops, oops. Watch shows. Don't. You're watching a subtitled anime. Don't fold laundry at the same time. It's like all the Instagram reels where you see people like, oh, don't watch subbed anime and eat, because when you look away from the screen, then it's just going to be, you're not going to understand anything they're saying.
Well,
if you're looking at all times, you're going to miss something.
It's hard. It's hard because like you have to kind of know what the episode, like if this is an important episode or not. Like next episode, you probably could have been looking away at the screen a lot. Doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
This is a pretty important episode.
I lied. I didn't fold laundry. I don't fold laundry. I hang laundry.
How do you put it in your drawers?
Anything that's going in, if it's going in the drawer, it's not something that matters if it's wrinkled or not. So I just kind of lay it in there. I don't.
That's crazy.
Fold it. I'm just gonna put it. I don't know.
That's the most unhinged thing you said to me. Fold your laundry when you put what? It in drawers so it fits in the drawer.
If you like look through your drawer for something, it's gonna get all shuffled up anyways. God.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like you should probably fold your laundry.
Well, I don't like fold. I hang as much as I can.
How are you not folding your laundry, but you're, what are you doing when you're watching all those episodes of Survivor? Not folding your laundry? Why are you watching Utena while you're folding your laundry? You should be watching Survivor.
Well, I was doing something. What was I doing? Well, I might have been like organized. I don't know. I might have been cleaning them up dog toys or I was doing something while I was watching it. A household chore while watching it, because I had to like watch it during my lunch break.
Well, just know, listener, anyways. this is a warning for multitasking. You should always pay full attention to what you're doing, or you might miss the fact that Jury is gay. The big reveal at the end of the episode,
just think
which
you're hoping for it, yeah,
which recontextualizes the whole thing and gives you the thing you've been wanting, but you didn't even realize it.
That's my bad.
It's my bad. Okay. You watched the episode, so that's good.
Yes, it's we're making slow progress. First, don't watch the episode I'm supposed to. Now, I'm watching it and just not fully paying attention. This time, next time, I'm going to nail it eventually.
I just didn't watch the last five
Master
seconds,
the art of
which
podcasting.
Normally isn't that big of a deal. This time, it was a really big deal.
Yes. Oh, man.
It's all good. It's all good. This is why we have the podcast. Yeah. This is why I'm here, because I do watch the whole episode.
And this is one where this next episode I was in and out, but every time I looked at it, I was like,
that's okay.
I don't have to watch this, but I like what I'm seeing when I'm seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all right. Episode 8 is called Curried High Trip. We open on the Prince story again in full because we got to fill time.
Why did they do it's just, okay, that's what it is. Because I'm like, randomly, there's episodes where we're playing it and times where we're not.
I mean, you got to fill a whole time block every week, you know?
A whole, like, 18 minutes?
Yeah, it's hard, you know? We cut to Utena and Anthy in cooking class. From afar, Nanami and the bullies watch. They have replaced Anthy's curry spice with a special super spicy Indian 100-fold curry to make their dish too spicy. It's the perfect prank. However, the bullies realize...
No, sorry. I don't know what the best time to say. This is very clearly they skipped the animation budget this episode. Everything looks terrible this episode.
Yeah,
as far
it's
as
very,
like
whatever.
Not as good looking.
Yep.
Just putting it out there. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Spicy curry.
This is a very goofy and inconsequential episode. The bullies realize that they didn't actually swap out the spice with the 100-fold curry, but they actually swapped it with a special 9-billion-fold curry. So strong, it'll blow you to smithereens and make phantom elephants trumpet. Nanami's like, what? But is interrupted when the entire cooking class explodes. We get the student council elevator sequence. They meet to discuss the fact that Nanami's stunt has landed both Utena and Anthy in the hospital, and no one has foreseen this happening, and they may not survive. So, like, what happens with the whole revolutionizing the world if they both blew up in a curry accident?
Okay, because I was like, what? I was like, did I miss something? What? We're in the hospital.
Yeah, it's because they blew up. Did you not see the scene where they blew up?
I heard it.
Sarah.
What?
You gotta watch the episodes.
The spoofy episode. We just said it was okay.
You gotta know that they explode at some point.
I put it together.
Mickey says it's his fault because he requested spicy curry from Anthy, but Toga's like, it's cool, man. That's not really the reason why this happened. But Toga gets a phone call that they've both been released from the hospital and they're fine. Anthy and Utena come back to school the next day. But when Wakaba greets Utena in her usual way by jumping on her, Utena just kind of slumps over. And it becomes clear that Utena and Anthy have swapped bodies. Utena has...
If you swap bodies, your strength is physical, and you would think you would be strong physically, and not your strength wouldn't just transfer with your personality. Just saying.
Yeah, also your voice wouldn't transfer, but that happens here too.
Yep. Utena, Anthy Utena, don't crumple under Wakaba.
She just slumps over.
You're gonna make her be very self-conscious. Yeah,
it's very funny. All of the scenes where they draw Utena as Anthy is so funny because it's like
I mean, Utena, it demonstrates like, how important it is that like, or how like the same character can look so different. Like it's like very, it's so clear who's who based off like facial expressions being unique to each character, even though
it's like facial expressions, the poses that they're making, how they move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just like, I don't know. This is just like fun animation stuff of like, I know that they have guidelines for characters about like, this is how they stand, this is how they move, that kind of thing. And just seeing it in the show, like reflected back is the most like, oh yeah, when you animate characters, they like follow a certain way so that they feel like the character, and you could just swap those and they feel like each other. That's fun. Anyway, Utena as Anthy are confronted by the bullies again, who slap her again. Tick that counter up one more. But this time, Anthy slaps them back, and Mickey and Inami, who've been watching, are astonished that Anthy would slap someone back. We get a montage of Anthy doing Utena things and Utena doing Anthy things. The boys have been taking pictures of them and report back to Nanami. And also, they're selling these photos because everybody thinks of them acting out of character is appealing. And it, like, everybody buys them, including Mickey and Toga. Toga asks Nanami if this is somehow her fault. And then Utena and Anthy show up and accuse Nanami of this being her fault. And Nanami is baited into admitting that it's her fault on accident. And Toga tells her to go and fix it by going to get more 9 billion curry spice so they can reverse the effect. Otherwise, she's not allowed to go home. So Nanami and the bullies head out to India.
It's funny. This is such a jerk. Because the like him seeing them off on the plane with the sunset thing feels so iconic. Like, I feel like that's just a thing that you've seen in old anime before. This is where it's like, I'm just digging the antics of the bullying Nanami from here on out. Very fun.
The framing of this is very funny because he's like, you need to go get some. And Nanami's like, yeah, I'm going to go get some. And then everyone's like, and the bullies are like, wait a minute, doesn't that mean? And then it just cuts to him like standing his back to the camera with his wind blowing. And then an airplane just takes off in front of him. It's very funny.
It's very good, yeah.
And they kept, like, pausing, like, freeze frame pausing where, like, the bridge is on top of them, and I keep thinking we're about to cut to the Kashira Shadow Troop, but we haven't done it yet. Mm. Right, anyway, so throughout the episode, we're going to get little gags of Nanami and the bullies traveling through India, doing some, like, Indiana Jones-type stuff, and every time they get attacked by elephants, regardless of where they are, that's the gag.
Yes, it's fine, because they'll have, like... They're like in water. There's just elephants surfing behind. That's just crazy.
Yeah, it gets progressively less plausible.
They look like African elephants and not Indian elephants, if you ask me. Indian elephants are way cuter. They didn't distinctly make them Indian. Whatever. So unimportant in this gaggy. Continue.
Yes. We do get the Kashira Shadow Troop now, and they explain the concept of divine justice, which is basically just karma. Anthy and Utena continue living in each other's bodies. Utena is not happy about being Anthy because Sionji keeps hitting on her. They run into Sionji.
Awful.
It's pretty bad. They run into Sionji, and he drags Utena off to the storeroom. Utena decides that she's going to pretend to be Anthy since Sionji hasn't been clued into the body swap. He's like the only person who doesn't know somehow.
Sionji, he's an idiot.
Because he's pretty stupid. Sionji tells her that it's been 2 weeks, but now it's time for them to explore their love for each other. And Utena's like, I'm sorry, what? But Sionji tells her that their bonds are real and they need to do this secretly. He opens his shirt and Utena thinks he's about to strip, but really he's just doing that to take out an exchange diary he keeps under his shirt. He gives Utena the diary, telling her that she needs to write her expressions of love to him in it. Later that evening, Utena wonders what she should do.
He's you know that character, the kendo guy from Ranma 1/2? He's kind of like that guy.
Stupid. Yes. I forget what that guy's name is.
Kuno.
Kuno. I mean, it may be like based off of that character, to be honest, because Ranma, when did Ranma come out? Like the 80s or something?
I think so. Leading into the 90s, maybe.
The kind manga? Kind of
that vibe. Where at came first out, he seems really 87. Formidable and blah, blah, blah. And then, but
yeah, no, it's exactly like that archetype of guy. Of like, I'm in love with you. Here's me doing romantic stuff and not paying attention to your reaction at all.
Against your, wishes.
Later that evening, Utena wonders what she should do. She's like, he seemed pretty sincere about this whole diary thing. And if he and Anthy are actually in love, maybe like I shouldn't be getting involved in this. Because it sounds like they've been doing some stuff. Anthy shows up and is like, oh, hey, it's Sionji's exchange diary. And she's like, well, be sure to write something in it. Utena's like, wait, hold on. Shouldn't you be writing something in it? But Anthy's like, but you're Anthy right now. And I'm Utena. And Utena's like, I mean, yeah, but like, it's not appropriate for me to write in it. So Anthy's like, oh, if it's not appropriate, that's fine. And throws the diary away. Anthy explains to Utena that she was just doing it because Utena didn't say not to. But she's like, oh, but if you don't think it's inappropriate, then I'll just stop doing it. Whatever. Utena feels bad and is like, fine, whatever. I'll make an entry in Sionji's dumb exchange diary. And then we can all just forget that this happened.
I feel like this is because she's not physically the Rose Bride. Like we're seeing, this is what Anthy it would be if she didn't have these obligations. Like she'd be like, ah, forget that fool. Not my problem. Kind of.
It's
happy doing her own thing.
Utena is very funny here because it's like, I also would feel compelled to do something, even though it's like, Anthy clearly doesn't care. But Utena's like, but you seem to kind of care because you did this on your own initiative. Like, it wasn't me telling you to do a thing. So now I need to honor that. But also, I don't give a shit because I don't like Sionji and I don't want to write in his stupid diary. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Later that night, she tries to think of something to write. And then she reads some of Sionji's previous entries and see a picture of him that he drew defeating a bald Utena in a duel and then gets annoyed.
He called her ugly. She's not ugly. Buzz off, dude.
The next day, Utena brings Sionji the exchange diary, and she wrote pervert idiot in huge letters inside of it. This is very much like a Ranma bit. You're so right for talking about this.
Right?
Because even like her, like Utena, like pretending like to be Anthy, she's being like ridiculously girly in like a stupid way. That's just like obviously fake.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, kind of like Ranma when Ranma's a girl.
Yes, it's very much like that.
Trying to get what he wants using, yep.
Pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. They all get word that Nanami is back with the secret spice. So they all go out to greet her. This includes like Toga and Mickey and all those people. She rushes to give Toga the secret spice, but slips on a banana peel that Choo Choo throws and smashes it to pieces. All of the spice blows away at the wind, and she says it takes at least 200 years to make more, so that was the last batch.
She was also super tan from her time in it.
She's also super tan. She's
like a gal.
Yeah. Yep, that happened.
For a mere moment. Mm-hmm.
Utena, Choo Choo, Toga, Nanami, and Mickey all sit down for dinner thinking about what they should do next. Anthy brings them her special curry, but none of them are hungry for curry. They're like, we don't want this. The bullies show up and tell Nanami that actually they found the original 9 billion spice unused in the cooking pantry. And they realize that the explosion was caused by Anthy's normal cooking and not from the spice. Sionji shows up and asks Anthy why she wrote that comment in their diary, and he blames Utena's influence and is like, we're just gonna ignore the fact that happened. She invites him in to eat, and both he and Choo Choo take a bite of the curry and it explodes. We cut to later where Utena and Anthy have been returned to their original bodies, but now Choo Choo and Sionji are swapped as we cut to credits.
So cute, because then it's Choo Choo with a little wig on doing his kendo swings. Adorable. And then mortifying Sionji in a tree. Like looking for fruit or something.
Yeah. Yep.
Like they can't show him being looking that disgraceful, so they had to do like a silhouette of it.
Yep.
So you don't fully see him climbing around.
Very goofy. But there's some stuff about this episode. I like
there's some fun bits for sure.
I like when Utena is doing like high jump in Anthy's body and Anthy's just watching. Uh-huh. And she's like, it sure is cool to see someone do athletic stuff with my body. I don't like doing athletic stuff.
Yeah. I think the show does a pretty good job of like adding fun bits like this in the normal episodes. So it's almost like a shame that we're getting a, you know, like this is a whole episode we could have used for plot stuff. I mean, it's fun to see all this stuff, but I think that the show does a good job of peppering this in with the normal cadence of plot. But it seems like we're getting pretty frequent gaggy episodes. So I don't know if that's just because it's early on and there'll be fewer and far between in later arcs, or if we'll get more of these.
They start to drop off. I mean, part of it is like a lot of these are just kind of one episode like arc now, because like we have the jury one. They kind of exist to break up important episodes, yeah. I feel like. Because next episode, something is it's important in that like it's consequential of what happens. Let me look at the other seasons and see how many kind of gag episodes they have. They have a couple, not as many. They kind of
fun to work on these. Like, you think they just turn it over to someone like, hey, have fun with this random episode, and they just go nuts like writing it, and or because I don't know. I guess we'll talk about the manga eventually, but I don't know if the manga. I mean, the manga is only two volumes, right? Yeah. They're like big volumes, but there's just two of them, so it's like they don't have the time to spare with that. So
I would be shocked if they dedicated a lot of space to that. This feels kind of like just like gag episode of the week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually those, like, if Nanami is getting into some weird shenanigans, it's like a gag episode.
Yeah. I was scrolling through like the thumbnails for future episodes. It looks like she's gonna be more prominently featured in it. So
yeah, I mean, she is a character. We get
some serious stuff with her.
But like I mean, there's episodes called Nanami's Egg. You know what I mean? Like, we're gonna be doing some goofy stuff later on.
Yeah.
Okay. That's this episode. Well, I don't have much to say about it. It's kind of fun, it's kind of goofy. I don't know. Yeah. Is it racist about India? Maybe. Who knows?
I kind of want a choo-choo plushie now.
Choo-choo. It's like, unfortunately, I do like Sionji choo-choo, even though I don't like Sionji. I think it's very funny when he has the kendo.
It's great, because he can't talk. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Oh, yeah, choo-choo's great.
Choo. It's just choo mean, like, isn't that like the sound for kiss in Japanese or something? What does choo mean?
Maybe. I mean, it's an onomatopoeia, right? So it's just like whatever.
Okay.
I don't know if it has like a set definition.
Like Googling if there's a choo-choo plush. Oh god. There was it's terrible classic Utena plushies. That's a thing that exists.
Oh hell yeah.
Oh boy. We're getting sidetracked.
We can't get sidetracked. We have a whole last episode to talk about because we did three episodes.
Yeah, that's right. We gotta get to it.
Oh wow. Oh wow. Those are some plushies. I kind of like the Anthe one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the Anthe one's kind of cute. Because you don't have to see how weirdly disproportionate the legs. I mean, the one that looks the strangest is Toga, I feel like.
Toga looks pretty bad. This is a very bizarre screenshot. I can't stop looking. Like, their heads are a little too big, or like their shoulders are a little weird.
I guess Sega used to make plushies. Is that
what it
is?
Cool.
There's like Sega branding on this.
Nice.
Anyways,
you want to go into episode 9?
Utena, episode 9. Mm-hmm.
Episode 9 is called The Castle Said to Hold Eternity. We open a bunch of girls gathering to watch Sionji and Toga have a kendo duel, and Utena hears about it and goes to see it for herself. We see Sionji and Toga square off, and they strike at one another, and Toga emerges victorious. Toga's like, "Aw, don't look so mad, old friend," but Sionji is not happy about it and says that he absolutely will not lose to Toga again. Utena thinks about how Toga still might be her prince, even though it doesn't really seem like it. She's like, "I really hope it's not him, but it could be him."
I hope it's not.
We cut to Anthe in the garden. Sionji comes along, but is blocked by Choo-Choo, who gets into a fight with a frog. Utena shows up and asks Sionji what his deal is. He says he's going to beat her in a duel and retake Anthe, but Utena counters that he can't even beat Toga, so why does he think he's going to beat her? But Sionji dismisses this. He's like, "We've had tons of duels over the years. We've been friends for a long time. It's not a big deal." But then he reaffirms that he's not going to lose to Toga anymore and that he will possess Anthe. And Utena's like, "Okay, listen, if you love Anthe so much, why don't you try to, like, you know, court her in a usual way instead of trying to win her in a duel. That's weird. But Saionji says he needs to win her in a duel or else he'll never beat Toga. And we get a flashback of Toga beating Saionji in a duel as like teens and then caring for his wound.
Queens.
Because Toga is being very weird and manipulative here.
Toga is a bizarro character. Sometimes it feels like an old man inside of teenager's body, and then he's saying baby in episode 1 or 2.
He says feminist multiple times in this episode, and it's so funny. Utena is like, oh, so you're just doing this as like a contest with Toga. Do you even care about Anthy? Is she just a pawn in your game? But Saionji counters that if he possesses Anthy, he can take possession of eternity, just like this one girl wanted one time. And we get another flashback. We get a flashback of Saionji and Toga getting caught in the rain as kids. They happen upon a church that's having a funeral service, and a man asks if they've seen a girl around their age running around, because her parents died, but she ran away and they haven't been able to find her. Toga and Saionji decide to go look for her, and Toga goes into the church over Saionji's protest that it's too scary to go in there. And inside, they find 3 rose-sealed coffins. Toga opens one of them, and inside we find a pink-haired girl. Who could that be? She tells them... Who could it be? Who do we know that has pink hair and was in a coffin one time?
One person.
She tells them that she's in there because her parents are dead, but there were 3 coffins, so this one must be for her. And Toga's like, I'm a feminist. I'm going to help you out. And they try to reason with her, but she isn't budging from that coffin. And she says that if everyone's going to die anyway, I might as well stay in here. There is nothing in this world that is eternal. Toga turns to leave, and Saionji's like, shouldn't we do something? But Toga responds that if he wants to help the girl, then he needs to show her something eternal. We cut to a little bit later, where eventually the girl leaves the coffin, and Saionji suspects that Toga did something and is envious of him about it. He's like, this guy's always a step ahead of me, and I hate it. Back in the present, Saionji tells Utena that eternity dwells within the inverted castle above the dueling grounds. We cut to a student council meeting where Juri tells Toga and Mickey about Utena's backstory with the prince, and Toga says that she's a romantic but also gets an idea. Maybe I can use this story for my own ends. Later, Utena thinks about her prince and wonders if she'll meet him again. Toga surprises her and they talk about the castle at the dueling arena, and Toga says that the castle is where she'll meet her prince one day, and Utena's like, oh, you heard about my backstory, huh? Toga grabs her by the hip and says that her prince was somebody like me, right? But Utena shoves him away and leaves. Later, Saionji gets a letter from End of the World. We get the Kashira Shadow Troop. They do a skit about how Santa Claus, wizards, fairies, princes on white horses, and kind-hearted true friends are all a fantasy, so we should let people believe in UFOs.
I feel like I should just have you explain what each... Like, I'm pretty sure I understand, but for plain spoken... Here's Joe's explanation of how this relates to the episode.
Oh, this is just foreshadowing the stinger at the end of the episode about how true friends are a fantasy, and everybody's just scheming. Which is what Toga's doing.
They don't seem like friends.
Dinner time, and Utena can't find Anthy. She gets a phone call from a mystery man that is clearly Toga, who tells her that Anthy has been taken to the dueling arena. We cut to the dueling entrance. Saionji is dragging Anthy there against her wishes, and he tells her that they're going to go into the castle where Eternity is. But Anthy is adamant that she cannot go to the dueling arena without the champion, but Saionji does not care and smacks her. And then he tries to open the door.
Eight, nine? Surely we're at like 10 smacks by like one an episode at least, it feels like.
It's a lot of smacks.
It's wild.
Yep. Later, Utena shows up to the dueling grounds entrance and finds...
She should start... Sorry. I like interrupted you and then you were going to push through and then I was like, I already interrupted it. I'm going to edit this thing. I'll edit it out.
What were you saying?
Like a face smacks, like what little... I was going to say... You know how you put little dogs in the vest that has spikes on it so they don't get like snatched by eagles? She needs like a face mask that just has a bunch of spikes on it so people just stop slapping her.
Oh, yeah. She's like a cheek piercing or something.
Anyway, she needs something. She needs to be a bubble girl or wear. She needs to wear the fencing outfit at all times.
Yeah. Later, Utena shows up to the dueling grounds entrance and finds Saionji passed out in a pond. Are you about to say something?
No, I'm sorry. I'm just like, God, I feel extra bad about it. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm like extra bad about interrupting. I'm just like admonishing myself.
Okay, it's part of our charm.
It's too much.
Utena wakes Sayonji up and asks him where Anthy is, but Sayonji snaps awake, realizing that Anthy is missing, and they both see that the dueling arena gate has been opened and rush inside. They make it to the dueling arena without the montage, I might add, and find a gigantic rose statue holding a rose-sealed coffin inside of it. The coffin opens to reveal Anthy inside. Sayonji freaks out and rushes towards the coffin. But,
Sorry, that song's a banger. It's a shame.
It's a shame. We don't get the but it's not a duel. Like, you get the montage when they're doing a duel. They're not doing a duel here.
Gotcha.
Sayonji freaks out and rushes towards the coffin, but it suddenly raises up on a pillar as many pillars start to sprout from the ground, including the one under Utena, who suddenly raised up on a pillar herself. The whole area starts to shake and the castle seems like it's going to fall, and Sayonji laughs and says that he's finally going to have eternity, and then a piece of the castle falls directly on him from above and crushes him.
I was like, he dead.
He dead.
Bye-bye.
That's right. The pillar Utena is on starts to collapse, so she hops from pillar to pillar in order to reach Anthy. And as she does, Anthy bursts from the coffin and they grab each other's hands in a scene that feels kind of romantic. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. I didn't pick up on that, but you've seen it, so you know.
Well, I mean, this is an interpretation.
I probably need to rewatch this scene. Sorry, this has been a weird day of, like, I was productive in work, and so I guess all other aspects of life, I've lost it for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Failing to function properly.
Okay. That's why I'm here. That's why I got these summaries.
Continue. Yep, I appreciate it. I'm going to rewatch it now while we're...
Rewatch it now? While we're in the podcast?
Well, I'm just going to look at to see visually if it looks like they're, like, gazing into each other's eyes or something.
Uh-huh. Okay. Continue. I'll keep going. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Suddenly, the scene resets, and the castle is still spinning above them. Sayonji is not crushed, and Utena and Anthy are crouched only a few meters away. Sayonji realizes that it was all an illusion, and he's like, this is wrong. This is all wrong. I was supposed to save Anthy this time. This was supposed to be my moment, and I was going to gain eternity. He freaks out and unsheaths his sword and walks over to Utena, who's busy trying to wake Anthy up. Anthy wakes up just moments before Sayonji is about to strike Utena in the back with his sword, but as he does, Toga jumps in the way and takes the hit instead. He falls into Utena's arms and says that he did it because her prince was a guy like him.
You're really trying to hammer that home.
Oh, yeah. Sayonji realizes that
if
he
has struck
Toga.
If they don't listen the first time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sayonji realizes that he has struck Toga and drops his sword and is like, why do you always ruin everything, Toga? And then Toga responds, it's because he's a feminist. Later, in the hospital, Toga... If you just keep saying it, it's true.
What's wrong with me today, Joe? Stop me!
I'm trying to give these pauses so you can talk. I should pause for longer. I'm sorry.
Something's wrong with my brain today.
I'm trying to go a little fast because we've been running a little long. Three episodes is kind of a lot.
Okay. Back to twos.
All right.
Oh my God, you're right. Continue.
I think we should... Well, we can talk about it in a second. Last bullet point. Later, from the hospital, Toga, surrounded by women, calls end of the world and tells him that Sayonji has got expelled for attacking him. And then he adds that anybody who believes in friendship is a fool, as we cut to credits.
How do you know it's from the hospital?
Well, he's like sitting in a bed and like he's got bandages on him. Like maybe he's not in the hospital.
He's in a castle or a palace.
That's true.
With like fancy like draping over the bed, like
there's like three women in the room with
kind
him.
Of vibe.
Yeah, they're like lounging on him.
There's a lot.
Yep.
Yes. I can gather from that, it just seems like he's the puppet. Is he the world? Is he the one pulling this? I mean, he sent a letter, but it's like a letter
he faked that
Sayonji believed to be from the world. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He faked that letter. Well, like, he's not
pulling
the
strings
world.
And in everybody's business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're manipulating everyone. We saw it with Mickey, but you know, it's like a Mickey's being manipulated by a toddler. But Sayonji, who I guess he's had in his pocket for a while, he's expelled now. Tis but flesh wound, you know, no blood. I guess we can't show blood in this show. just get slashed in the back and it cuts your shirt open to reveal your hot bod, but no blood.
Yep. Yeah, of course, it wouldn't be hot if he was bleeding everywhere.
And his streak that's in his hair now is a cosmetic thing that he did because he didn't have it as a kid.
Yeah.
Unless this is some rogue shit where, like, we get a flashback and he has some stressful thing and he gets this lighter streak, but I doubt it. I think it's a vanity thing.
Yeah, well, we learned about Toga's true nature here. How do you feel about Toga, the master manipulator Toga?
Well, I'd like to say I never liked him. He's got good hair and that's it.
He's a feminist, he says multiple times this episode.
So he says.
Very funny. Yeah. Do you like how this episode is just him and Saionji doing the Manaverse? Where like Saionji is like, oh no, I'm a beta.
Oh, totally. Oh, I guess so. Well, I'm like, I wonder if it's like if he's in a direct opposition of the prince or something. And so these people are like his people, but Utena is like the prince's person, but he's trying to like get her into his. I'm like, what? You can't tell me. We'll find out.
Yeah. I mean,
be patient.
At this point, we know everybody's motivations except for him, right? Like, we know all the other student council members' motivations, what their deal is. How Toga has kind of nudged them into the direction of competing for the Rose Bride, like staying in the tournament. Like, it's very interesting how he is baiting people into doing stuff, but what he's baiting them to do is to stay in the running.
Mm. Yeah, because none of them, I mean, other than Saionji, neither of them are Juri and Mickey don't seem all that interested in it, or not until he really pushes it on them, or baits Juri into it.
Yeah. He's like, he's trying to keep everybody in the game.
Because he himself hasn't displayed any interest in Anthy.
Right.
Or, like, any feelings really about her.
Yes.
Mickey, admiration, Saionji, obsession, Juri, I guess, disdain. So he's, like, in everybody's business. Nobody knows his.
Yep. He's trying to mess with Utena.
It's weird that he has this sister character, though. Throw me off a little bit that we have Nanami, who has been a gag character for the most part up to this point, that he's just letting it run loose.
Yep. Well, next episode is Nanami. Nanami joins the battle.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay. I'll be interested to see how that plays out. It'll be episode. I guess we'll do two episodes. So we'll do 10 and 11, I think we should, unless there's another gag or something.
I think we should do three, because it's 10, 11, and 12. Okay, that's the end of the first season.
Okay, then let's do that. Yeah, okay. So that'll be the end of the student council arc.
Yep.
Which I'm like trying to guess of what that's, because normally it's like, I know what's going to happen and you don't know, but now it's like, I don't know. And you do. If it's like, does the student council become obsolete after this arc or change in any way? What's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting show. Very different than anything the closest we've covered to this would probably be, because it doesn't even feel similar to Rose River Sai.
No.
Rose River Sai is like super serious all the time.
Yeah, well, that's more of a drama, right?
So like, this is more of a melodrama. Yes. Yeah. I guess Skip Beat is the closest thing it feels like, as far as like crazy, you know, nutty things kind of happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the humor is kind of similar to Skip
Beat. Taking it to another level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But can you see why I like this show so far?
Yes. Yes, I very much watching it. I'm like, oh yeah, I can see Joe eating this up. I don't think I've really watched. I guess it's very much of the time, because I'm like, oh, I guess there's probably other shows. Like, I can see this being like other ones where it's like, oh, I watch an episode here or there. Or it's kind of like shonen, even, where if I think of Bleach, for example, it's like, oh, there's some stuff here and there in season one, but it's really once you get to like the next season that it really ramps up.
Yeah.
You know, up to that, it's like kind of just antics and getting to know the characters. So it kind of feels like that pacing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like Sionji getting expelled is a thing that carries over and does kind of change things a little bit. Like that does, he is going to be expelled, right? Like he's not going to be hanging around the school.
Okay.
As much as a student. He's not out of the show.
Maybe like creepy stalking Anthy instead, I feel like is going to be the alternative. Or he's just like hovering or I don't know. Yeah. Well, interested to see what happens.
Interested to see what happens.
For sure. Yes.
How are you like? What do you think about the duels stuff?
The duels.
Like, what do you think? It's like, because I mean, so far, really, what's been going on is like we have all like these duels are like methods for the different student council members to try and fail to deal with their insecurities in life and problems. And instead of, you know, doing it in a healthy way where you like talk things through or you have a support system or you have any friends or something like that. What if you just tried to win a duel and try to be the most macho man ever? And then when you lose, you just say, well, I'm going to do it even harder.
Yeah. Yes. Which we've yet to see any time with the, well, I mean, Mickey like lost and then immediately is one of the girls kind of vibes. Yeah. But, and then Sionji was kind of just gone for a long time after his failure. So it's like, I feel like we haven't, or, you know, we're not seeing what the doubling down looks like or something else happens to dissuade them from continuing to apply pressure, which Utena does not seem stressed at all. It's just kind of like the day of these things happen. There's no seeming like dread or like, oh God, what am I going to deal with next? She's just living her life. Tena's just doing her thing and these things pop up and knock them out in an afternoon kind of
ultimate head empty
deal. I have a hat that says that. Head empty hat.
Head empty hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah.
This episode's gone up kind of long.
Is there anything you were hoping I'd be like, Joe, this is profound, blah, blah, blah. No, it's gone on long. Oh my God, you're right. We got to wrap this shit up.
I'm more of like, I need to find a nice way to like summarize my feelings about this, like in a pithy little thing. I think I'm getting close with being like, everything that's going on is like the Manaverse. Like I can almost draw parallels to that perfectly of like everything Toga's doing in the like pretending to be a feminist thing when like clearly he doesn't really care about women. He just kind of uses them to like improve his own position. Sionji clearly hates women. He's just kind of like using them as a contest between another guy he's actually jealous of and is insecure about. Ajuri probably likes women because she's gay, but is spurned.
What did you say? Manaverse?
Yeah, the Manaverse. Have you not heard of this?
Manaverse? No, what is that?
It's like...
teach me the ways of the internet, Joe.
It's like, you know, when people talk about like beta males and alpha males...
Yes.
And the elusive Sigma male. And you probably think that's just a joke, but people are actually serious about that.
I gotta look up the hell Sigma male. Sigma.
That's always Sigma like male. Every time you hear people clowning on that, they're making fun of actual people who actually like think the world works this way. The current thing that's popular now are these. What are they called? Like image maxing or something.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this.
This is like the thing, it's pretty recent. Looks maxing, that's it. Where it's like these dudes trying to like look as handsome as possible, but not really for women, because they kind of hate women because they're like weird incels, but like to impress each other. But they're not gay, supposedly. They're like...
Okay, apparently like, there's a lot of aspects of this.
Yes. It's very bizarre and is like,
okay,
like Toga wouldn't be doing this. Like Toga isn't the guy who would be doing this because he would understand that this is like kind of bullshit. He would be the guy tricking Sionji into doing this.
Okay. Can this count as our lessons learned? Like lesson learned. I learned about Manaverse and looks maxing.
And looks maxing. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm learning things.
It's incredibly cringe and embarrassing. We gotta wrap it up. So like and subscribe.
We gotta.
I'm gonna have bigger thoughts later on Utena. I'm forming them now. We're going to have bigger stuff later, so stay tuned. Rate us 5 stars. Tell your friends about us. You don't need to look up the Manaverse. It's okay. You don't need to look up looks maxing. It's okay. You don't need to do that stuff. That's the lesson learned. Just listen. Let other people explain to you what this is. Don't go looking at it yourself, because if you're not primed to dumb internet shit, it's going to melt your brain. I have had years of hearing about stupid things, so that when I hear about image maxing guys hitting themselves in the face with hammers so they can shape their jaws correctly, that just it just rolls off me. I'm like, sure, why not?
Okay.
What did you learn, Sarah?
Crazy. Don't interrupt people when they're talking. Don't do that, Sarah. Stop doing that.
All right, well, see y'all next time with the end of
watch the episode,
the first the yes, student council saga. I was interrupting you that time.
I'm like tormented. I don't know what's happening today. Thanks for bearing with it, everyone.
Sarah's about to be in her own gag episode.
Be normal again.
Gonna get trampled by elephants.
10, 11, and 12 as we wrap up the arc. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.